you're continuing with Johnny Lee, but then you ended up with Bob. Tell us that transition.
I left Johnny Lee for about 6 months, I guess it was, and I went out on the West Coast and worked for Bob up and down the West Coast. Then I came back and worked with Johnny Lee for about another 6 months before I moved on to Hank Thompson.
Now, Bob had wanted you to come out to the West Coast before, because he had not come back after the war. He had relocated his band.
Yeah.
And he wanted you to come out, and you didn't want to go.
Yeah,
right?
No, I never did want to go, but finally I was having some problems, first one thing, another year in Tulsa, and I finally decided to go out and work with him. But I didn't stay out there in about 6 months.
Can you contrast the two band leaders' styles? You worked for Bob and Johnny Lee.
Yeah.
How were they different as band leaders?
Well, of course, Bob had a lot of charisma, you know. Johnny Lee, he was more or less an introvert. He wasn't the kind of guy you'd think would be out really pushing himself, and he didn't. Actually, Johnny Lee was really, as far as I was concerned, a better band leader than Bob. Because Bob, like I say, he had the charisma, but he was harder to work for. You really had to pay attention. That was the most nervous band I ever worked on. You had to keep your eye on him at all times. Of course, you had to keep one eye out there. He wanted you to interact with the audience, but also you better be watching him. And he was bad to break meter. Sometimes you'd be playing a chorus or something, or somebody else would. He'd get completely through it, maybe two bars into the next chorus, and he'd point this guy over here.
To take solo.
It. Yeah. You just had to stay on your toes all the time. And you know, that's kind of rough coming in two bars late on a chorus or something anyway. But Johnny Lee knew meter a whole lot better than Bob did. He knew when to point and when not to.
And he was easier going in general.
Oh, yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah. He was the greatest guy I ever knew, I guess.
His band was called Johnny Lee Wilson, All the Boys, or Johnny Lee Wilson, His Boys. And I've had people tell me, and Curly, I don't know if you agree with this, he was kind of one of the boys.
Yeah.
Johnny
Lee
was.
Yeah.
He was not like Bob,
no,
the star.
No, no,
he was
no,
one
no.
of the boys.
Johnny Lee, he had the best definition. Of course, Johnny Lee wasn't a real good fiddle player. He's a good banjo player. Mm-hmm. He played good tenor banjo. I know one time Mr. Fine, he used to run the UCT Winter Garden in Fort Smith, Arkansas. We used to play down there every other Friday night. He was talking to Johnny Lee one time about his musicians and how he kept going real good with everything. And Johnny Lee told him he knew that he couldn't play very good and couldn't sing real good or anything. But he said, I always try to surround myself with good musicians or better musicians. That was his philosophy anyway.
He did, too.
Yeah, and he always did that. A lot of times he'd have a lot better bands than Bob did.
And a lot of you guys stayed with him for a long time.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You and Clarence Cagle and Buster Magnus and a lot of those guys.
Nobody hardly ever left Johnny Lee.
Bob, though, became the biggest name. Is that because of his charisma and he was more of a showman?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, Bob was a good breakdown fiddle player. Like we were talking there, he did have the charisma. He was just a showman.
Also an originator. Between him and Milton Brown, and Milton Brown died very early in his life. Right. Milton Brown died in the mid-1930s. Bob was the guy who started it all, really. Wouldn't you say so, Kurt?
Yeah,
because of
right.
Milton Brown's early death.
Right.
Those
were the two guys who came out of the Light Crust Doughboys
right.
from Fort Worth, who had started down there and sort of started creating Western swing together, putting all these different genres of music together. And then Milton Brown went off first and started his own band, the Musical Brownies, and he died, was it 36, in a car crash.
Yeah.
Bob moved from the Light Crust Doughboys to Waco and then Oklahoma City and then to here. He was here by February of 1934. He didn't come to Keynes till 35, but he was here February of 34, and that's when it all started. Then he got to the Keynes in 35, and then that's when it really took off. So he was an originator, and a lot of times the first guy that does anything
right.
is going to be the guy
right.
that everybody remembers.
You've got it right there.
And then he was a terrific promoter, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And he had a good promoter for a manager, too.
O.W.
Mayo. O.W.
Mayo,
yeah. Was he a school teacher? Or?
No, he was with the oil company, Curly. His brother-in-law was one of those firemen that put on the dance down in Waco. after Bob had left the Light Crust Doughboys. They were putting a thing on for the fire department, and Mr. Mayo was related by marriage to one of those firemen, and that's how he got to. He went out and bought him some stuff and helped him get going and decided to leave the oil business behind back there in the, about 1933.
I didn't really know the story behind
that
all
was, that. That was his deal. He was an oil company guy. Yeah.
So while we talk about these great names, Bob Wills and Johnny Lee, you're obviously the youngest on the stage.
I was at the time I joined the band, yeah. Other than Billy Jack, I was the youngest one. And I was for a long time.
Did you always enjoy it? Were you always happy that this is what your lot in life was?
Yeah, I did. I really did enjoy it. In fact, I enjoyed it more than I thought I did, now that I think back. Oh, it was hard in a way because we played, as a rule, four nights out of town each week, at least three or four, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. We had that 12:30 broadcast every day, so we'd go play a dance, get through at 1 o'clock, and drive back in, get in around 5 or 6 o'clock a lot of times.
When you say drive back in, meaning back here to Tulsa?
Yeah, back
KBOO.
Yeah, we were out and in. Then you have to get up 10:30 or so and come up here and make that broadcast and maybe rehearse a little bit if you didn't have too far to go that night. But you'd take off again about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then Thursday,
same thing, just over and over.
Thursday and Saturday, you're always here playing broadcast dances. And then you ended up having, on top of all of that, to do those syndicated shows for General Mills.
Yeah, we did 200 of those.
You do a bunch of those at once, though, right?
Yeah, we'd do about 25 at a time.
Where were they aired?
All over the country. Yeah. Well, mostly this part of the country.
Yeah,
we
recorded them down at KVO Studios in the field there at that time. Yeah, they were syndicated all over the country. We even got fan mail from up in Vermont and places like that once in a while. They'd trace it down, see where it was originating from. Actually, if you didn't know it was transcribed... Well, yeah, Frank Sam did mention transcribed. If you happened to miss that, well, you didn't know it was transcribed because it was just like a live show came on every day.
And all General Mills. It was always throughout its lifetime it was sponsored by General Mills.
You know, that got real popular one time. We were playing a broadcast from Fort Smith, Arkansas. After the broadcast was over, we were signing some autographs and people coming around and talking. And this one lady came around, got an autograph or something, and she said, "Which one now is General Mills?" But anyway, she had heard him say General Mills Presents.
That was bringing in quite a bit of money for the band, wasn't it?
Yeah, we made $27.50 for each 15-minute program.
Each band member made $27.50?
Each band member. Johnny Lee got twice that. It was good back in those days. That was 51 and 52 when we cut those. Yeah, that was before wages had got up too much. Things were still kind of slow going, but of course everybody else was too. And a little extra money like that really came along good.
So you're in your early 20s about that time?
Yeah, I was about 25.
And making good money?
Yeah, for the time.
You said you had a noon broadcast, but wasn't there also a 6 in the morning broadcast and a 6 p.m.?
No. Okay. And when I first joined Johnny Lee, we were on KTUL, too, for 30 minutes every day, and KVOO. But they later dropped that KTUL radio show.
Those are two different shows, Curly?
No.
They would just be simulcast then?
Yeah, simultaneously. KTUL sent an engineer. He sent it remote back to KTUL.
Now, there was at one point, it may have been before you got there, didn't they have a Thursday morning gospel show way back when? That may be what you're thinking of, John. They did a Thursday morning gospel show for a time, but it got to be just too much because of what Curly's talking about, coming back.
Yeah, well, that actually started with Bob's band, and then we kept it up. But used to, we got so many requests for gospel and sacred songs. They tried to do one each day for a long time, and they finally decided that they'd just set aside one day and do all gospel and religious songs, and did that on Thursday.
The syndicated show, did it play on KVOO as well, the General Mills show?
No.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. You guys had your noon broadcast.
Yeah, we had our own. But anyway, those we called them hymn shows, hymn days. We didn't use no horns, no drums, or anything like that, just... piano and strings, like guitars and fiddles.